Aren't you thrilled that you're in the house of the Lord? Who said it? I think it was the psalmist that said, I was glad when they said unto me, let's go into the house of the Lord. And that just, isn't there just something really special about the church house? Now remember, this is not the church. This is just the meeting house. But when God's people meet, to meet with God and to worship Him and to honor Him and to exalt Him, it becomes a very special place. If you'd like, turn to the book of Leviticus, chapter 17. Chapter 19. Better get my glasses out. Better get wired up better here. I'll quit fooling around with this after a while, Alex. Okay. Now, if this sounds familiar to you, that's an indication you were a little awake last week in service. Chapter 19, verse 18. You shall not take vengeance, nor bear any grudge against the children of your people, but you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Father, we are looking at and will look at one of the most difficult practices of the faith, that of loving people, loving our neighbor, loving our enemies, just like you loved us. Thank you for the opportunity of studying that today. Thank you for the opportunity of looking at it and repenting where we have failed. Guide us by your Spirit, dear God, that we will not miss one truth that you have for us, that we'll praise you and bless you. Now, there are some here who have real needs, and we pray for them. We bring them before your presence. And oh, what a joy that is, the presence of a holy God who already knows. We're not going to try to tell you anything. You know, but you answer as well. You're the solution. Thank you, God. In Jesus we pray. Amen. I thought about it a long time. In fact, it kind of hit me on the head. Does God ever hit you on the head with the Word of God? Boy, that's a heavy hammer, I'm telling you. It kind of hit me on the head. I was all prepared to preach on the second slogan of exalting and then equipping. You remember last Sunday, I preached to you about exalting the Savior, Jesus Christ, God, the Father, the Holy Spirit. You know, that when I asked, Jesus was asked, what is the greatest of all the commandments? He said, well, it's pretty simple. And by the way, that's quoted in Leviticus too. And Jesus used it. He said, to love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your mind and with all your strength is the greatest of all the commandments. And then in one place, one of the writers in the New Testament quoted and said, and now if there is another one, by the way, there is, it's love your neighbor as yourself. So I'm using it as a title this morning, a theme for this, exalting your neighbor. Now, you remember we went into detail last week about this thing of exalting, lifting up, placing in the highest of priority, none greater. You remember the Ten Commandments, thou shalt love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind. You know, that's God, that's exalting when we do that with Him. But should we do this with people? Exalting is a pretty powerful word. It's a strong position. So then I thought, well, maybe I ought to stick my big nose in and see what this may be saying. Okay? First, let me tell you something. Love is not a noun. Love is a verb. Love's not something you say. It's not even a position. It's an action. When he says, love your neighbor, put it in action. You know, love the many is like the boy who was texting his girlfriend. You know how these youth are anymore. They'd rather text than talk. Peggy and I was sitting somewhere the other day and watched the man, and she looked up and grinned. I thought, golly, he's texting her. And they're sitting at the same table. And in a minute, he looked over at her and she said, yeah, so this is pretty dumb. The boy was texting his girlfriend, and she was sort of a new girlfriend, and he really wanted to impress her. So he said, oh, you know, I have fallen madly, madly in love with you. I just can't think of anything but you. You're on my mind all the time. I'd do anything for you. All you have to do is just ask. Why, I'd swim the broadest, swiftest river anywhere if you asked me to. I'd climb the highest mountain, no matter how much snow it had on it, if you asked me to. And oh, by the way, if it's not raining, I'll walk down the block and see you tonight. Love's action. You put it in gear and practice it. When you put it in that vernacular, and then you're told, love your neighbor. By the way, if we went further to examine, and I won't do that unless you insist, and we can do that next Sunday. If we went further to examine, well, you're to love your enemies. Ooh, that's a big action right there. Oh, well, I'm looking at your faces. You don't have any, do you? You just love everybody, right? Shake your head like this, folks. Shame on you. You're to love those who speak bad about you. Boy, that's not what I hear in my office when folks come in. You know what they said about me? Well, no, and I don't want to. All the counsel I can give in a situation like that is, are you loving them? By the way, we have an oral test right here. Did you ever have anyone that you just downright didn't like come to you and say, look, if there's some hard feelings, I want you to ask you to forgive me. I don't want there to be between us. Peggy, remember that scene? We were right on the verge of a revival in Mill Creek Baptist Church in Ratcliffe, Kentucky. I hadn't been there long. They had had a major, major split. If right down the middle is a major split, they had a major, major split. And I was asked to come by the council and see if, you know, we could heal that, at least one side of it. And God was moving. Things were happening. Souls were being saved. Lives were being rededicated down in the altar to the Lord. By the way, let me tell you something. This is a pretty nice place. You ought to get acquainted with it real well. This is a good place. Because usually you get out there on your knees, you kind of meet with God down here, you know. And you can meet with God right there in your pew. Sure you can. But, oh, I don't know. God's always had an altar. And by the way, if you don't know how sacred that altar is, go back in the Old Testament. Even one of the New Testament. Read about old Zechariah when he went into the temple and the order he was supposed to go in. And Gabriel met him in there. And he was back there in the Holy of Holies. And do you know they had a rope tied around old Gabe's leg? Zechariah's leg. So that if he met with God and God overcame him in the altar, they could pull him out of there. Holy place, this altar. Now, help me, where was I? That's all right. Now, listen, I've been practicing a long, long time to forget, so I'm really good at it. It'll run around. A friend of mine My wife says these stories you tell is what gets you off track. A friend of mine just knew that she was developing dementia or Alzheimer's. So she went to the dentist. Yeah, she went to the doctor and had all the tests ran, did all the tests, and went back for the evaluation. And the doctor said, no, there's no trace at all of dementia. Well, she just knew it had to be Alzheimer's. Oh, I was afraid it's going to be Alzheimer's. No, there's no trace of Alzheimer's either. She said, well, what in the world is wrong with me? He said, well, let's see if I can explain it to you in layman's terms. Up here, you have a sensor in your brain. Back here, you have an antenna in your brain. And what old people's problems are is you got rusty wires between the two. The wires are rusty. The message doesn't go back there. Where was I? Somebody help me here. You knew what? Oh, that's right. Thank you. We were at Mill Creek, and God was working. I'm telling you. Listen, I pay her to do that. Well, she wrote the sermon. She ought to know, you know, right? And across from that side, one of those who had chose to walk away with a former pastor came across the building over to about there and said to her, I've had hard feelings. I want to ask you to forgive me. And the answer was, I never will. Love those who say all manner of evil against you falsely for my name's sake. Now listen, where it really gets deep is when you're right. You know, you're right. I just didn't like that pastor's sermon. I'm never going back. You gotta love that person. You gotta love that person. You gotta love that person. When you're right, you know, you tell someone the truth. You share the word of God with them. And they get out and spread all kind of stuff about you. Now, hold that for me right there, okay? Did I tell you about the good-looking, 6'2", curly-haired, 28-year-old bachelor that moved into a town driving a Dodge muscle truck? And everybody in town, especially women folks, really was glad to have him there. One day, that muscle truck took out on him right in front of a very pretty lady's house. And he just walked away. The next day, all over town was this word by a gossiping lady. You know he spent the night there? His truck was there when I went to bed. It was there when I got up the next morning. He spent the night there. And the pastor had to get a hold of him and tell him, now don't let that bother you. I'll see if I can straighten it out. Oh, he said, Pastor, let me straighten that out. Can I? He said, well, sure, if you think you can. He said, well, okay, I'll do it. I'll straighten it out tonight. He went over in front of that gossiping lady's house, parked his truck, went home, went to bed. Went back the next day and got it. You figured the rest of the story out, didn't you? Okay, so we're going to love those who hate us. We're going to love those who persecute us. We're going to love those who say all evil against us. Now, by the way, I waited to get here. We're going to love those who need us. You remember when the young man, a lawyer, anyway, he was sharp. Well, it says, the Bible says he was a young lawyer. And he stood up in a touchy situation when his particular brand of denominationalism was being put down pretty strongly. He was a Pharisee. And he says to Jesus, what is the greatest of all the commandments? Class, what's the greatest of all the commandments? You shall love the Lord your God. Come on, with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, all your strength, and all you got. and your neighbor as yourself. Now, that didn't fit too well. So he says, well, who's my neighbor? Now, I'm going to nutshell this story. I'm going to bird's eye view this story. This old boy, we don't know anything about him, except we know he's pretty dumb. Because he has valuable stuff with him traveling from Jerusalem to Jericho all by himself when he ought to have known better. Highwaymen were in abundance. And sure enough, they jumped on him. They beat him up. They took everything he had, including his mule and his money, and left him after they beat him in the ditch. Almost dead. Religious people came by. I mean, the people who knew from Leviticus that you're to love your neighbor as yourself, and they didn't help him. And then along came a guy that wasn't very popular. He was a Samaritan. And Samaritans were just half of something and half of something else. And those Jews sure enough didn't like him. This young lawyer didn't like him for sure. And Jesus said, that old boy got off his donkey. He got down there and he applied medication and bandages to that old boy's needs, put him on his donkey, took him to an inn, paid the price of the inn's fare, and then said to the innkeeper, I'm going away. I'll be back for this guy. And by the way, if I owe you more when I get back, then I'll pay that too. Then Jesus simply asked, now of all these religious people and this lowly Samaritan, who do you think was a neighbor to that guy? Who do you think it was? So, let's get into this. First, preacher, you've laid out a pretty hard thing. In fact, you know what? I got to thinking, golly, it's harder to exalt thy neighbor than it is to exalt Jesus Christ. Golly, he loves us. He gave himself for us. He gave us eternal life through his own death by paying sin's price in my place. Amen? Now, can anybody do more for you than that? First of all, that eternal life thing. Jesus strung that out one day and said to the guy, what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? Can you imagine this? Well, I don't know whether I want to go there. Now, let me think about that for a minute. Yeah, I'll go there. If you have any questions, ask me later, okay? A trillionaire, the only one I know by name is Donald Trump. Oh, by the way, as a side note, there were some things happened in the swearing in and in the inauguration that I really appreciated. Now that, okay, so he stands on the judgment day with all those trillions of dollars and doesn't know Christ. Oh, we need to pray for him. I don't know whether he knows him or not. I hope he does. I hope he does. Some reflection to that. And at least there's a strong reflection. He knows who Jesus is. That's a good start. And, well, Lord, I always knew who you were. Oh, yeah. Now, let me ask you, says the Lord. Now, you understand, I'm speculating of good deal here. Let me ask you, if I give you a life that lasts forever and forever and forever, just right on, no end, would you give up all those trillions of dollars? So, what does it profit a man if he gained the whole world? Jesus gave you more than anyone's ever going to. He gave you, if you'll only accept it, eternal life, and he paid sin's price in full so that he could. So, easy to love him, right? I love Jesus. Say that. I love Jesus. Boy, We better practice on the count of three. One, two, three. I love Jesus. That's a little better. One more time, I'll get it. I love Jesus. That's so easy. Amen? But we got to love the unlovely. How do we do that? Now, you know, when I met brown-eyed, cute-as-a-button Peggy Loreen, it wasn't hard for me to fall in love with her. I think the first jump shot she shot got me. Now, I didn't meet her on the basketball court because she played on the girls' team and I played on the guys' team. But she was out there on the basketball court. And I fell in love. If you don't believe in love at the first sight, you haven't seen a 16. This is my commandment in John 15, 12 through 17. This is my commandment, that you love one another. Well, all right. So we're told by Jesus, who loved us and gave his life for us, that we're to love one another. Oh, by the way, let me say to you, got it written up here. Thank you for putting it up there. I love you. I do. This has been a wonderful, wonderful experience for Peggy and I, to pastor this church, to be in fellowship with you. I love you. You're an easy bunch of folks to love. Well, most of you. No, I was just joking. Jesus said, just as I have loved you. What did Jesus do in the verb love to show you how much he loved you? First, he left the greatest place in all of the universes, heaven, where there were Sephirims who did nothing day and night. Holy, holy, holy Lord God Almighty. It was, it is to come. And they just did that, flying about, worshiping him. Just as I have loved you. Now, he gave up heaven. He came. And one of that magnitude lived I wish I had time to tell you about Herschel Elliott. One of these days I'll tell you about Herschel Elliott. Lived like the poorer people on planet Earth. And then went to the cross and died there the worst of deaths. And went back to heaven. Sat down. Right there at the right hand side of the Father. And he's right there now making intercession for you. Let me bounce you a little bit right. Do you know he knows what you're thinking right now? The Word of God says Jesus needed not that man should testify of another God. For he knows what's in your heart. And he's there making intercession for you. Perchance, one of you who have never went to that place of saying, Jesus, I want to invite you into my heart and be my Savior, to give me eternal life and to live the rest of my life for you. Now, you've never done that. But he's sitting there. And the very moment you lift your eyes, spiritual eyes, towards heaven, he says, Father, listen. Now, most of us have done that. I think as I survey this wonderful congregation, most of us have done that. Just as a testimony. Have you done that? Amen. Most of us have done that. I wasn't trying to embarrass them. I just like to see people testify. I love Jesus. Jesus is my Savior. And that very moment, that happens in a life. And I just wonder, how many times today will that happen? Across this planet, he elbows the Father and says, listen, I'm about to add another one to the family of God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Okay, I'll go on through this. In John 15, 12 through 17, this is my commandment, that you love one another just as I have loved you. Greater love had no man than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. This is my commandment, that you love one another. That's what he's commanding. You got it? There is no room for grudge. There's no room for revenge. There's no room for backbiting or whatever, anything else you might carry around in you. No longer do I call you slaves, for the slave does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you. You didn't choose me. I have chosen you and appointed you that you would go and bear fruit, and that your fruit would remain, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he'll give it to you. This I command you, that you love one another. I want to give you a real, well, I don't know, just let me give you a real big one, okay? The next time you get one of those feelings through your emotional being, say to the Father, Father, fill my heart with love for that person. It'll work. Now, one other thing, right quickly. You haven't chosen me. I have chosen you. Listen, listen. Before the foundations of the world were laid, Jesus was offered for your sins. Now, you know what that means? That means anytime, anywhere, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, he don't give any conditions, he don't give any circumstances, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Why? Because Jesus chose you. He chose to die for you. He chose to pay your sins price. He chose to give you a home in heaven. It's there. All you got to do is ask it and take it. Okay, now then. So, that's how you love. The big question is, why do you love? Why is this so important? Why must we exalt the other peoples over ourselves? Oh, you know, we were told, more than yourself. You love your neighbor more than you love yourself, okay? Well, in John 15:16, Jesus says, you'll bear fruit. Do you want a productive life? Do you want a life that counts for something? But above everything else, do you want a life that's fulfilling and rewarding? Remember what Jesus said? Well, I've come that you might have life, and that you can have it in little degrees. One or two of you knew better, and you might have it more abundantly. Boy, an abundant life's a great thing to have, and he says you can have more than that. Just to walk hand in hand with Jesus, led by the Holy Spirit of the living God, victorious in all that you're about, no matter what it looks like, that's it. So in John 15, verse 16, he says you can bear fruit if you'll do this, if you'll love one another. And it comes on down to verse 16b. Hang on now, listen. I don't know how many people, oh, bundles of them, wheelbarrows full of them, have come to me to say, Pastor, my prayers are just not being answered. They're not getting any higher than the ceiling. Well, what's the problem? Who is it you don't like? Who is it you can't get along with? Who is it you can't pray for? He says in chapter 15 of the book of John, your prayers will be heard on high. Glory to God. Let me just throw out another one of those oral tests. We've had a bunch of those today, haven't we? Listen, what one thing would you want here on planet Earth more than any other thing? Make sure your love life's right. And ask God, okay, that your prayers will be answered. Now then, last point on tithe. Last point, listen. In the book of Proverbs, chapter 10, verse 12. Now, folks, I dug into this. I looked at this. I didn't get all of it. I know I didn't. I'm still going to do some more work on that. I didn't get it all, but the wise man, the guy renowned as being the smartest dude ever to live on the planet Earth outside of Jesus Christ, Solomon, said this. He said, love covers a multitude of sins. Just a quick little test. You love that dude, Phil. Because of that, you forgive him of a ton, don't you? See there? It covers a multitude of sins, multitude of transgressions. And if you really love your neighbor, and they dump their trash on your yard, that's covered. But above everything else, if you love, Jesus said, this is how much I want you to love. As I have loved you. Now, I don't care what you've done. Murder? You know, we've categorized our sins. You know, we don't lie anymore. You know that, don't you? The Bible says all liars, so we don't lie anymore. We just fabricate. I'm going to say it. We don't shack up anymore. We just cohabitate. You know, what we ought to do is go to the Father and say, Father, thank you for forgiving me. I want to repent of that. We are to love and forgive. I don't care what the other person does. That's not covered in the Bible. You are. So I say to you this morning, if you have never invited Jesus Christ into your heart, or if you have and you have not totally committed your life to Him, I want to invite you to come. Why? Because He loves you. As I have loved you, you love other people. That's it. That's it. And one last statement. This is not a point. This is just a statement. Listen, let me tell you something. When New Life Fellowship Church comes to that place, we genuinely love one another. We put the other person first. We care for each other in a Christian, spiritual way. This building won't hold the folks that'll come. People want to be loved. I do. I just thrill every morning when Peggy Loring comes in and says, honey, I love you. Then I say, me too. There's something like that. Listen, God waits for a people who love enough to love like Jesus did. Would you stand? Ashley's going to come. We're going to have a song. And by the way, I want to quote that first stanza. Just as I am without one plea, but that the love of God was shed for me, and that Jesus bids me come to Him. Oh, Lamb of God, I come. That's all you need is that invitation.